Good morning. We're going to follow the life of Jesus from the beginning of time to the celebratory meal that he had with his friends when he was 30-something. Let's pray. Loving God, who has known us since our first moment of life, who has helped and guided us, speak to us individually with what you want us to hear today. Amen. From the first page of the Bible, from the scroll called Genesis, which means the beginning. It is the beginning of time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God separated the water under the vault from the water above it. God called the vault sky, and God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vaults of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let there be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth and across the vault of the sky." And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals." So God created mankind in his own image. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. But things did not stay very good as God had made them. This is the confession of Isaiah, son of Amoz, written 2,700 years ago. He was in the temple when he broke down upon coming face to face with God. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the whole temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Isaiah, who had seen the King, the Lord Almighty, went on to write a prophecy about Jesus. This is one of four passages in Isaiah that talk about a future suffering servant from God. "There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum. But the fact is, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures. But it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him. Our sins. He took the punishment, and that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. We're all like sheep who have wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way, and God has piled all our sins, everything that we've done wrong, on him. On him. He was beaten. He was tortured. But he didn't say a word. Like a lamb taken to be slaughtered and a sheep being sheared, he took it all in silence. Justice miscarried, and he was led off. And did anyone really know what was happening? He died without a thought for his own welfare, beaten bloody for the sins of my people. They buried him with the wicked, threw him in a grave with a rich man, even though he had never hurt a soul or said one word that wasn't true. Still, it's what God had in mind all along, to crush him with pain. The plan was he give himself as an offering for sin, so that he would see life come from it. Life, life, and more life. And God's plan will deeply prosper through him. Out of that terrible travail of soul, he will see that it's worth it and be glad he did it. Through what he experienced, my righteous one, my servant, will make many righteous ones, as he himself carries the burden of their sins. Therefore, I will reward him extravagantly, the best of everything, the highest honors because he looked death in the face and didn't flinch, because he embraced the company of the lowest. He took on his own shoulders the sin of the many. Translated into modern language, that was written 700 years before Jesus was born. Eight hundred years after Isaiah, son of Amos, wrote the last reading, a non-Jewish, Greek-speaking, highly educated medical doctor who had converted to Christianity questioned eyewitnesses about Jesus' life. Dr. Luke wrote his biography of Jesus. In it, Jesus is asked to read the scriptures at his local synagogue. The reading was another passage from the prophet Isaiah. And here Jesus declares that as well as being the son of Joseph the carpenter, whom they all knew, he was the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. I will now read that passage. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him, and they were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself,' and you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, and when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land, and yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy at the time of Elisha the prophet, and yet not one of them was cleansed. Only Naaman, the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, they drove him out of the town, and they took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. One of Jesus' closest friends, a fisherman called John Ben Thunder, wrote a memoir of the times that he had spent with Jesus. Here, John describes how resolute Jesus was to serve others, knowing the danger he was in. A man was sick. Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister, Martha. This was the same Mary who massaged the Lord's feet with aromatic oils and then wiped them with her hair. It was her brother, Lazarus, who was sick. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Master, the one you love so very much is sick." When Jesus got the message, he said, "This sickness is not fatal. It will become an occasion to show God's glory by glorifying God's Son." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. But oddly, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed on where he was for 2 more days. After the 2 days, he says to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." Well, they said, "Rabbi, you can't do that. The Jews are out to kill you, and you're going back?" Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. I am going to wake him up. Where the disciples said, "Master, if he's gone to sleep, he'll get a good night's rest and he'll wake up feeling fine." Jesus was talking about death while the disciples thought he was talking about taking a nap. So Jesus became explicit. Lazarus died. "And I am glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. You're about to be given new grounds for believing. Now, let's go to him." Well, that's when Thomas, the one called the twin, said to his companions, "All right, come along. We might as well die with him." Luke explains that Jesus taught those around him as they traveled. After this, Jesus had said to them, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And each day, Jesus was teaching at the temple, and each evening he went out to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to hear him at the temple. Now, the festival of unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. And then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you to a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. In Luke's words, "When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, 'I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God.' And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." After the meal, Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." When he rose from prayer, he went back to the disciples. He found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray." After Jesus had been praying, Dr. Luke and the young man Mark go on to describe what happened next. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and Jesus said, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." And there we will leave the story.